Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
We just missed it, sir. 1069 instead of 1066. The seed in the field. Okay, so then it's being brought up again because it's the same kind of topic, right? As good seed springing up in good soil turns out perfectly well, even so, the son of an Aryan by an Aryan woman is worthy of all the sacraments. Some sages declare the seed to be more important, the others the field. Again, others assert that the seed and the field are equally important. But the legal decision on this point is as follows, right? It means there's the one is that some will say that the seed is more important, the field is more important for getting, you know, a good crop. Means like, let's say the seed is not so good, but if the soil is very good, then you might get something. Or if the seed is very good, then even in lesser soil, you might. So they'll say which it is, or the seed, it produces that kind of thing. It's not, if you put, like, you put an eggplant, you'll get an eggplant.
Yeah.
Now it's just the quality of the soil, how good of an eggplant it will be, right? But he's saying here, but the legal decision, right? So he's not making the definition here, because the previous one, it was about who does the child belong to, right? So that was the decision there. Now, that is just for inheritance and everything. Now, here it's about the quality of them, what's the nature of them. So then, what's the legal decision? Seed sown on barren ground perishes in it. A fertile field also, in which no good seed is sown, will remain barren. Right, because you can say one is more important than the other, but the seed without a field and the field without seed, neither of them will, anything will happen. As through the power of seed, sons born of animals become sages who are honored and praised, hence the seed is declared to be more important. Right, an example of this is Rishi Sringa. Right, like that. Or you also have Matsyagandha. You all know Matsyagandha. Right, she's like major player in the whole Mahabharata. No one knows Matsyagandha. Matsyagandha means the smell of a fish.
Yes.
Now you know.
Yes, now we know.
Okay, Vyasadeva's mother.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Because then after she got the blessing of Parasara, then instead of for 8 miles you could smell fish, for 8 miles you could smell blue lotuses.
Satyavati,
yeah. So she's also born of a fish, right? And her brother Matsya, he was born of a fish. Right. So then they're pointing out the seed, therefore, is more important. Having considered the case of a non-Aryan who acts like an Aryan, and that of an Aryan who acts like a non-Aryan, the Creator declared, those two are neither equal nor unequal. Vritti. Earlier it was stated. The gods, having considered the respective merits of a niggardly Kshatriya and a liberal usurer, declared the food of both to be equal in quality. The Lord of creating beings came and spake to them, do not make that equal which is unequal. The food of that liberal usurer is purified by faith, that of the other man is defiled by want of faith. Right? Because they're saying, okay, the non-Aryan acts like an Aryan, and the Aryan acts like a non-Aryan. They're those two are neither equal nor unequal. Means they're basically on the same on platform on one level, but at the same time they're not equal, because the one is acting like an Aryan. The other, though having the facility of an Aryan, is not acting. So therefore, the non-Aryan who acts like an Aryan is better than the Aryan who acts like a non-Aryan. Right? Because the whole point is elevation, is that faith, is proper behavior, is proper culture. Like that. So that's why he's saying is here that the miserly Shrotriya, you know, or the very liberal, how you say? Not banker, what do you call them? Moneylender. Right? Like that. So the money lender is better because he has faith. He's doing this because it's the proper thing to do. While the other one, he's doing just what he has to do, but not doing anything beyond. Right? But while the Urser, now, why is the Urser considered not a good thing? Because he's a money lender, so he gives money. It means they're available to give money to people who really need it. So now people who really need it generally can't pay it back. So their point is, you never have to pay it back. You just pay the interest. Hmm. You understand? That's the whole point of the money lender. He's not expecting to get his money back, because he'll get more in interest over the years than he will in you coming and paying him back. So it's an investment like that. Is that once you've given to him, then you're going to be paying him for the rest of your life, basically, right? So, you know, there and you know, you may give, not give, so they're going to have to come and be strong and heavy. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not a really tough person who's coming and asking for a loan. It's someone who can't get our things organized. There, so, does that make sense? Mm. So, it's not considered a good position. Mm. Right? So then, I guess they didn't have then the... They didn't have repo men, right? They had to do it themselves. Yeah. But nowadays they hire, you know. Okay, so the point is someone who's following, someone who has that faith, that's better, even though their position is lower, than someone of a higher position with less faith. Right? You know, the Prabhupada mentions, says the... You know, the Indians, they're standing very close to Krishna, with their back to Krishna. And the Westerners who've taken up devotional service are standing very far, but they're facing Krishna. Mm. So their position's better.
Yeah.
You know. The point is the other one would be very good position if they turn around, but, you know, whether they'll turn around or not, that's another thing. So the point is if you're facing, you're doing the right thing, then that will move very nicely. Okay. So in other words, you take the position of the father as more important. That's the whole thing. Right? Because sometimes you'll see later, is it this, the next chapter, I think. Oh, maybe it's in this one. There's a thing is, one of Vashishta's wives, maybe it was previously, but one of Vashishta's wives is from a really low-grade family. I don't know if it's one of his wives. It might even just be his wife. No, because she doesn't have this the name of the... When you point out that she's not Arundhati. I think it's someone else. But she's considered very high grade because of the association and serving and everything with Vashishta. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's very more important to see what's the nature of the father. Mm-hmm. Like that. Okay, the law for all castes in times of distress, right? So now that was how you end up with times of distress, is Shankara, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's what you do in those times. Yeah. Brahmins who are, so the standard duties of dvijas, right? Six activities of a Brahmana. Brahmanas who are intent on the means of gaining union with Brahman and firm in discharging the duty shall live by duly performing the following six acts, which are enumerated in their proper order. Teaching, studying, sacrificing for himself, sacrificing for others, making gifts and receiving them are the six acts prescribed for a Brahmana. Right? And it says, which are numerated in their proper order. Right? So that means teaching is the most important thing he does. Next is study. Mm. Right? Because by teaching you learn also. Mm. So now if he studies also, then that'll make it even better. Mm. So then he does his own sacrifice. That means he has the piety. He does it for others. Then he helps others. Right? Making gifts, then that's going to be more beneficial. Receiving gifts is going to be the least. Okay, vritti. These six acts are patana, study, patana, teaching, yajana, sacrificing for a set, yajana, sacrificing for others, dana, giving charity, and pratigraha, receiving charity. Okay, with group.
How? Giving charity, I mean monetary or in for other
forms? It means whatever it may be. Doesn't matter. Charity is just when you whatever you have. Just like let's say you get 10,000 cows.
Yeah.
So you may keep all of them, or you may keep some and give the rest away.
Like that. They will not buy themselves. They will not sell themselves. Whatever they need, they will give it in charity, and they will give it charity.
No, they can use it however they like. If what they're given. They can use it as it is, they'll use it like that. And if not, then they can also trade it, sell it, do anything like that. Point is you've gotten something, and then you're supposed to give in charity also. So then charity be a given. So it's not a rule that you give something like that, you can't.
Is there anything in Vaishnava etiquette about when you're receiving, say, 10,000 cows, then immediately giving 8,000 away, would that in some way the original giver be a little bit like, hey, you know, I was giving you the cows?
Well, it's not that you do right there in front of him.
No.
He gives you the cows and thinking,
yeah. Yes. Seems a little.
I'll take all the brown ones, you have the rest. You know, no, I mean, there's culture. But the point is something given and then immediately given away. You know, meaning out of that you want to benefit others, or you get it and you think, how can I benefit? Mm. You get more benefit than just the regular giving in charity.
And the original giver would also be affected by this? Or?
No, he's given his charity. It means that's your charity.
But he
because
would
you can give me in charity now and then give later, but as soon as you get it, you give it away, that's considered even better.
But generally he would be benefited by having given to someone qualified who would
But the point is then that Brahma giving away means he has to give it to someone qualified. Yeah. You can't just give it to anybody. No, the point is you've gotten the benefit for giving charity 10,000 cows to a Brahma. Mm. Now whether he utilizes all 10,000 cows, that's up to him. But the point is utilizing doesn't mean just keeping it. Him giving in charity is also where he gets benefit.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense? Yeah. So he gives you 10,000 cows. Mm. So then he gets that multiplied by whatever's the quality of the Brahmin, let's say 10,000. You know, but now if he then also then now gives those cows away to another Brahmin who's that qualified, then he gets the benefit of giving away 10,000 times 10,000. You know, and then he make it, so this one charity may keep going for a long time. You know, I mean, because it's how often do you have someone who can take care of 10,000 cows, right? You know, but the point is it's nice because they don't mind because then they can give in charity. In other words, if you get too much, then it's great. You can give it away now. So you get the benefit of having and the benefit of giving away.
Is there any benefit for the person who arranges for somebody else to give without, you know, directly say, okay, you want to give, and you organize a gift?
It depends upon what's the mentality and everything. Everything's by mentality. You know, because if you're an assistant, then you're assisting, you get the benefit of assisting someone. But it's not that you get a share of what they do. You know, that's not how it's just like you have somebody may have a servant. So he does service no matter whether that work that he happens to be doing at the moment is something very great or something very small. He gets the benefit of properly serving, properly assisting. It's not that, you know, he arranges for that so then he shares in that particular thing. No, he gets benefit by serving that person. So that person by giving some big charity, now he has more qualifications. So you're serving of him, you get more benefit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you get from your own duty, and his duty is assisting this person. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah, that would be. Otherwise, then it's, you know, everything is, you know, I did this, so what am I going to get from that? No, it's you're doing your duty. That's what you're getting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So his duty is to assist, and the other one's duty is to give in charity. So then it'll come.
Alright, just to clear one more point. If Brahmana is having something more and he wants to sell it, so does it have a mentality of getting profit like as a Vaishya to sell in a much price he got?
But that's is that how he regularly lives?
No.
So then why would that be Vaishya? You know what I'm saying? So it's not that because you sold something that makes you a Vaishya, or because you sang so now you're a Shudra, or you managed something so now you're a Kshatriya. You know, or, you know, the guy said, you know, was gooey, said, oh, don't step there. And so that's knowledge. Now you're the Brahmin. You know, so you understand? It's how, what are your duties? So the point is if he needs money, he has something, he can sell that, then, you know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. But if he makes a business out of everything he gets, he works out a thing and selling, then that turns into a Vaishya. Yes.
Who is the incarnation of Vashishtha? I mean before.
Sorry?
The incarnation of Vashishtha Muni. Before. I lived in Vashishtha, so I want to know it.
Vashishtha?
Yeah.
Who was he in his previous incarnation?
Well, he's one of the sons of...
I mean the incarnation of Vashishtha is Shivananda, but anyway. Who is the incarnation?
No. But see, the point is Vashishtha is one of the sons of Lord Brahma. Right? So he's still around. They live as long as Brahma does. So they'll live till the end of the universe. So he's always there.
So it means the same Parvati or means the same Kartikeya?
No, Kartikeya will... Oh, no, he's the son of Shiva. Yeah, it means however long he lives. Position of the demigods like Indra, Varuna, Agni, Vayu, those change 14 times in a day of Brahma. So the demigods are on a certain level, but higher than that are the Prajapatis. Higher than the demigod, those main demigods are the Prajapatis. Prajapatis are the sons or grandsons of Brahma, through which all the living entities of the universe are descending from. Okay. With regard to the occupational duties of a Brahmana and the Vaishnava qualifications, Srila Prabhupada stated in the following in a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam 326-27, Bombay, January 4th, 1975. Shastra says, Sat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharada. Not only expert in six kinds of occupational, patana patana yajana yajana dana patigraha, but mantra, tantra, visharada, Vedic mantra, tantra, everything he knows perfectly well. Right? Mantra is the mantras used, tantra is the ritual. So visharada means he knows the mantra and tantra. Sat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra avaishnavo guror nasasyat. But if he has got one disqualification, he is faithless. He does not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Vishnu. He is believer in other demigods and other processes, even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the best of all the demigods, then he becomes a Vaishnava. Right? So in other words, he has all those qualifications, but if he's not a devotee, it's not really something special. It means within the material, yes, it's the best of material, but it's still on the spiritual platform, it's not a qualification. Right? Because that's going to be faith in Lord Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. Mm. And in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 487, he describes the six occupational duties of a Brahmana as follows. In the scriptures it is stated, Sat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharada. A qualified Brahmana must be expert in the occupational duties of a Brahmana. His duties are mentioned as six Brahminical engagements. Patana means that a Brahman must be conversant with the Vedic scriptures. He must be able to teach others to study the Vedic literatures. This is patana. He must also be expert in worshipping different deities and performing Vedic rituals, yajana. On account of this yajana, the brahmana, being the head of society, performs all the Vedic rituals for kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras. This is called yajana, assisting others in performing ceremonies. The remaining two items are dana and pratigraha. The brahmana accepts all kinds of contributions, pratigraha, from his followers, namely the kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, but he does not keep all the money. He keeps only as much as required and gives the balance to others in charity, dana. So that means he's getting from the kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, then he's giving that away. He keeps what he needs and gives the rest away to the other brahmanas.
There's different degrees of brahmanahood depending on how much you're saving, I seem to remember.
Saving.
Yeah, like if you have enough for three days or four months.
What would be the better lifestyle.
Okay.
You know, but the other is how much you are knowledgeable. You know, it means, in other words, someone who has brahminical nature, that's one thing. Now, if he's studied and he actually is able to use it, in other words, he knows this, sat karma nipunovi pro mantra tanta vishadada, that's then more. Then that's equal, I think, 10,000. If he has he has realization in this and that, that's 100,000. Right? And if he's transcendental, then it's unlimited. Right? So that's there. It's talking about someone who has, grains and that for 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? That qualifies you to do a soma yajna. So that means you can do the pious activities, but better is someone who is only keeping for a shorter time. Right? So, a month is better than someone may keep only for 3 days. Someone only keeps for the day. In other words, you go out and beg or collect or do whatever you do, you keep how much you need, the rest of it you give away. So that's better, because then the dependency on the Lord is greater. Of course, that you have 3 years worth of grace, that's also by the Lord's grace. But the question is that dependency of that day to day means you won't have to think about it for a while. But if it's every day, you think about it every day. So that's better. But then you also have to be in a position that works for you.
Yeah.
Either you're alone or your family is quite comfortable with that. Does that make sense? So in other words, Brahmins who they lived like that, then their children, when they get married, might live like that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the girl who grew up in a family where her father lived like that, right? So by the time she's married, she's been doing that for a while, right? So she's used to it. So now if her husband does like that, she's comfortable. That's just what you do. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. But among the six acts ordained for him, three are the means of his subsistence: sacrificing for others, teaching, and accepting gifts from pure men. Right? Vritti, of the six activities the brahmana must perform, three, namely patana, study, yajana, sacrificing for himself, and dana, giving in charity. Right? The other three activities of subsistence, namely patana, teaching others, yajana, offering sacrifice for others, and pratigraha, accepting charity, may or may not be accepted. Instead, he may accept the means of ritta, collecting unwanted or discarded grains. Mritta, begging, or amrita, accepting that which comes with no endeavor. Right? In other words, one is his lifestyle, the other is his occupation. Right? But the point is, as you see, the activities of his occupation are the same as his lifestyle. That's the thing with the Brahman. Whatever is his lifestyle, that's why in the first six chapters, when it describes the Brahminical culture, that also describes the Brahminical occupation. Right? So it's ashram dharma, but it's already described the varna dharma of a brahman. So it doesn't need to be separately described. So therefore, when we get into varna dharma in the second six chapters, then you don't have to discuss the brahminical, because it's already been done. Because the kshatriya dharma, then he has his lifestyle, and then he has his occupation. They're connected, but there's not as direct as the brahminical. So the brahminical is the much more simple. So we see the Vaishnavas also, by in general, then they, if they have the possibility, their ashram becomes their lifestyle, because mm-hmm. That's the Brahminical position. Mm-hmm. So if they do like that, it's not a problem. It only becomes a question or a discussion when they take on something else other than that, right? When they take on different. In other words, he's Brahminical, living that lifestyle, but then he does business or he does something else. Mm. Does that make sense? Then it's more of seeing that the mentality is right, the balance is right, and everything. But does that make sense? So you'd have to have qualifications, right? In other words, you'd have to be qualified to do business or qualified to do administration, right? But to perform his sadhana and those devotional activities, he's qualified to do that. This is lifestyle. So if he, by doing that, that's how he's maintained, then it comes automatically. Does that make sense? Like a temple devotee. He's there. He lives that lifestyle. He's doing things there. And so he's taken care of by that.
He doesn't have to do those last three for subsistence. The Brahmin, he can choose to beg or glean grains from the field. Would he choose to take that means of subsistence in order to avoid karma from having to deal with people?
No, that means yes. Means, in other words, the teaching he'll do because that's there, but he may get something from that or not, because then from that may come charity and other things like that. But teaching is his most important thing, right? As an occupation, that's his most important. But doing yagya or puja for others, that's not as important, right? It means if there's a chance between teaching or doing yagya for others, you take the teaching, right? You know, it's a different position. Brahmins who teach and study and teach, they're considered in the middlemost position of goodness, right? Those who do yagya and all those for others, they're considered in the lowest position of goodness. We'll get into that in the 12th chapter. Right now. Does that make sense? You know? Yeah.
Thanks so much. It is the Brahmana itself he decides.
Sorry?
It is himself who decides.
Himself, yes. It's just whatever's available, whatever works for him as a person. Like that. Mm-hmm. You know, if he has the facility, he has the, you know, whatever arrangements are available, whatever his nature, then that's what's how you work it out.
Not really advice from a Brahmana.
That you can do, but that's how you work things out anyway.
Yes.
But it's not that they have the meeting and decide what he's supposed to do. Yes. That doesn't work. It's his choice. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's up to him to work that out by whatever means works for him. You know, discussing with others, he has friends, he has advisors, he has seniors, he has family members, so like that. Is that okay? The Brahminical means of subsistence is forbidden for Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. So this is what is ideal, this is his position, right? Because if we're going to discuss what to do in times of distress, you have to exactly know what are the normal duties, right? Passing from the Brahmana to the Kshatriya, three acts incumbent on the former are forbidden. Namely, teaching, sacrificing for others, and thirdly, the acceptance of gifts. Right? So that means the Kshatriya, he should be studying, he should be performing sacrifice, he should be giving in charity. Right? Those three are common to all the dvijas. Right? But teaching, sacrificing for others, and accepting charity, that's only used by the Brahmin as occupation. So the Kshatriya and the Vaishya won't do that. The same are likewise forbidden for a Vaishya. That is the settled rule. For Manu, the lord of creatures, Prajapati, has not prescribed them for men of those two castes. So it's not like it's open for discussion, or maybe in this situation, or maybe in that. It's just, that's the settled rule. It's just, that's the way it goes. Yeah.
When it is teaching every topic.
Teaching specifically means teaching the Veda. Because let's say you have a wrestler, he may teach wrestling.
Yes.
You know, carpenter, he's going to teach an apprentice. So it means teaching the scriptures. Like that. Does that make sense? So in other words, we can say that anybody, whatever their occupation is, as a devotee, they may be able to teach. Right? Let's say, you know, they're giving Bhagavatam class, or, you know, giving classes or doing preaching programs, or you might have a Bhakti Shastri course at the temple, they can run that. But the point is they're doing that as part of their ashram duties. You understand? So that aspect of the Brahminical. But if they're going to make it into, they do seminars and then you're supposed to give donations for it, if they're not Brahminical by qualification, they can't do that as an occupation. They can't say, well, I'm a devotee. And so he does that, and it's that he's actually by nature a business person. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, people want to do, you know, self-help courses and charge money, then that's there, but that's a businessman. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Down the river, this military science section of the Buddhist teaching, who is giving this knowledge? Brahmins or Kshatriyas?
Dhanurveda. It means as a Shastra, the Brahmins are giving. But the practical may be by a Brahmin or by a Kshatriya. Just depends on his qualification. He's Drona, then he does it himself. Right? It's others, they teach that, and then after they graduate, they go back to the palace, and then they'll learn all the, you know, the military sciences, the practical, from those who do it, the generals and everybody else. Does that make sense?
Well, it's just as teaching means teaching the Veda, similarly studying also means studying the Veda.
Studying the Vedas. Yeah, yeah. It's not that the highest thing that you could be doing is, you know, studying Kavi and teaching Kavi. You know, that's not what we're talking about here. You know, in other words, material knowledge, that's, you know, if it's your thing, if that's there, then you do. Just like the businessman is teaching the young businessman business. But he's not teaching him, you know, the Veda. Like that. Does that make sense? Right? What he understands from spiritual life and how to apply it in your life, that he may teach. But this is not a formal class where he's the teacher. Right? You're respecting him as the senior businessman, or he's a family relative, so therefore that's why you're learning from him business, or whatever it may be. So it's on that personal level. Right? Okay. So then, means of subsistence and duties for Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. To carry arms for striking and for throwing is prescribed for Kshatriyas as a means of subsistence. To trade, to rear cattle and agriculture for Vaishyas. But their duties are liberality, the study of the Veda, and the performance of sacrifices. The three Brahminical duties of study, sacrifice for oneself and giving in charity, are common duties for all the dvijas. So that's their duties, and the other is their subsistence, right? So here is making a difference between duties and subsistence. So duties means the ashram duties, how you're supposed to improve your own life, right? And then subsistence is how then you'll maintain that life that you're living. Yeah. Right? So notice here it says trade, rear cattle, and agriculture. Now before it's mentioned banking, right? But it's not the best of them, right? In other words, if you have the opportunity, you'll do these three, not banking, right? So if these are not available, then he may do banking. So this is, what is the ideal?
Okay, yes. So is banking like a low quality form of trade?
Yeah, because you're not exactly trading, you're just making money off of others' money. You're not actually producing something. Or you're not making something available. I mean, of course, people need money, but the point is it's not, you know, you're taking, you know, this is coming in, you're taking this and that's done. No, then you have the element of interest. You know, so that's the element that makes it not as ideal. But it's there and it must be done, but it's not your first choice. Right? You know, unless of course your father is owns Chase Manhattan or something, then that may be your first choice.
Right. He doesn't.
Huh?
He doesn't.
He doesn't. Okay, so it's not your first choice. Okay.
Liberality.
Liberality in this case means giving in charity. Like that. Okay. And to carry arms to striking and for throwing is prescribed for Kshatriyas because it's by their men, by having the martial authority, then that's how they maintain everything and see everything goes on. So because of that, everything's safe, people are protected, and therefore then they can take tax. Right? So he can't just take tax if he's not able to protect them. So that's the whole point. It's because of his ability to protect, therefore he takes tax, so he's maintained by that.
Kind of like protection money? Kind of like protection money?
Yeah, but it's actual protection. It's not that, you know, everything's going fine and the guy shows up and tells you that, you know, you wouldn't... Yeah, he's not the one that's going to give you trouble, and therefore if you pay him, he'll stop giving you trouble. No. That was this morning's when we were discussing the Vaisheshika.
Oh, yeah.
The triads.
Yeah, that's it.
The most commendable occupations. Among the several occupations, the most commendable are teaching the Veda for a Brahmana, protecting the people for a Kshatriya, and trade for a Vaishya. Okay. It's just interesting how it mentions trade like that. Because trade means is then you're making things available for people and all that, but the trade means that you're doing it according to the laws, because it also mentions how much profit you can make and everything. So the government controls that. You know, but the commendable is trade. So we'll see later is that if a Brahmin or a Kshatriya can't do their own duties and takes up the duties of a Vaishya, they're recommended to take up trade. Right? Agriculture and Kabbalah is specifically for Vaishyas. Right? Now, if they have the facility, they're in the village, then taking care of the cows and that, but now they're going to get the most from taking what they get from that and trading. Like saying, but if they're in the city, then trade would be, because you can't exactly keep a lot of cows or do a lot of agriculture. You know, probably they wouldn't appreciate, they wake up one morning and there's a whole bunch of sunflowers growing on Fifth Avenue there, you know, like that. So it's not going to work.
And cow dung.
And cow dung. Yeah, and cow dung. Okay, so amongst them, in other words, for a Brahmin, better is that he's teaching for his occupation, as opposed to doing sacrifice, as opposed to receiving charity. If he's just living on charity and not doing sacrifice or teaching, that won't be as ideal as if he's doing sacrifice. And that's not as ideal as if he's doing teaching. So in other words, if Brahmins teach, Kshatriyas, protect, and Vaishyas are trading, then everything will work very nicely.
Is there an alternative for the Kshatriyas?
It is just now coming.
Just now coming, okay.
Yes. Duties and times of distress for all Varnas. So now they've explained what is the thing, what's the essence, because the details have been given, but now this is what the essence is. Right? Duties and times of distress for all Varnas. Alternative duties for Brahmins and Kshatriyas. Okay?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But a Brahmin unable to subsist by his particular...
Peculiar.
Specific to him.
Yeah, peculiar. No, okay, is that what peculiar means? Is that it's specific to the... Okay.
Yeah.
His peculiar occupations just mentioned may live according to the law applicable to Kshatriyas, for the latter is next to him in rank. Because the Kshatriya is just down from him.
Yeah.
If it be asked, how shall it be if he cannot maintain himself by either of these occupations? The answer is he may adopt a Vaishya's mode of life, employing himself in agriculture and rearing cattle. But a Brahmin or a Kshatriya living by a Vaishya's mode of subsistence shall carefully avoid the pursuance of agriculture, which causes injury to many beings and depends on others. Mm-hmm. Right? Right, because remember that was it? Ritta? That's Pramritta. Pramritta means that which causes many deaths. Right, because when you plow the field, all kinds of bugs and worms and this and that, everything gets killed. But because that's the occupation of a Vaishya, then for them that's perfectly fine. But since it's not the occupation for a Brahmin or Kshatriya, they would avoid that one. Right, that's why they would stick to trade.
And also, do not depend on others.
Because if you're, as a Vaishya, you're doing agriculture and you're going to make profit, you have to have a lot of other people. And it's, dependent on so many things.
Maharaj, when Prabhupada says agriculture is the most noble profession, which angle is he taking? Because it's not this violent one.
That means it's noble, because you're talking about, it's the most noble meaning for someone who that would be their occupation. right? Yeah. For a Brahmin, it's not the most noble.
No, I mean taking the Vaishya.
Yes, for the Vaishya means your agriculture, because agriculture means that you're taking care of cows, right? It means if we say cow protection, we mean agriculture. Because otherwise, what it means, the cows give milk, what do the bulls do? They're doing agriculture, right? So like that goes on. So that's the best. So if you're situated in the village, you're doing that, then that's your best occupation. And that's an ideal situation for him. He doesn't get too, you know, his lifestyle is simpler. He's more in tune with nature. There's more of a, say, you know, opportunity for God consciousness, and that would just naturally. While if he's in the city, is engaged more in the trade, then he may get distracted by that. Just he could also get distracted by the niceness of, you know, the village and all that. So all of them. But it's noble in that it has that element. You're taking care of the cows. You're doing agriculture. You're producing something. So from that angle, it's good. But from the other, then you know he's trading. He's making available. He's doing all those things. So that's also then. The best here means it's the most independent, it's the most something he can do himself, and it's the least entangling. Right? Trade, you know, you just have to have enough facilities to make the trade. But to do agriculture and that, you need land, you need the cows, you need all kinds of people to help, you know, like that. So it's much more entangling. So depending upon how you're looking at it. You know, so it's the most noble in the way of the material world and going nicely and being benefited and all that. But as far as getting yourself out of the material world, it's not necessarily the most ideal. But it works fine. You know, I mean, Nanda Baba did it, and he seemed to be doing okay. You know, he seemed to be quite God conscious. No one's going to fault him for that. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends on which angle or which position you're talking about at the time. You know what I'm saying? But otherwise, he can have his little place and his little shop, and the businessman is fine because he's trading. You know, life becomes very simple that way. Does that make sense? Yeah. Some declare that agriculture is something excellent, but that means of subsistence is blamed by the virtuous, for the wooden implement with iron point injures the earth and the beings living on the earth. Here, agriculture is described as a blameworthy occupation for those other than Vaishyas and Shudras. It may be, however, practiced in times of need for Parasramuni states. Because he did mention they can take that up. But he's saying you can take it up, but ideally they shouldn't do it. Because now what is this section is on alternate duties for Brahmins and Kshatriyas. So this point of that is blamable and all that for the virtuous means it's blamable for Brahmins and Kshatriyas. Mm-hmm. It's never blamable for a Vaishya. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the section is that. So we always have to know the context. Okay, Parasramuni states, the Brahmana who daily performs the six religious rites known as Satkarma should take to agriculture as a means of livelihood. By celebrating religious sacrifice, the cultivator is absolved of all sins which he may have committed by tilling the ground, by felling the trees or killing animals and insects. In other words, the sacrifice, the natural religious sacrifices that would come in the performance of a duty, those then annul then the elements of the farming. So in other words, it's only great being a farmer if you're religious. Mm. If you're not religious, it's not very noble. Mm. Right? So the Vaishyas would be doing that. So a Brahmin, he can take these up. Right? So it's not that he performs the six religious rites and he should take up. That means if he needs, he can take it up, right? Because Parasar is writing for in Kali Yuga, that may be a necessity, right? He's not making enough for it. Because in general, it's not looked at. Brahmas maintain themselves by this. It's kind of like we're devotees, he's a devotee, so I'll just give him something token. You know what I'm saying? So it's not given like that. And then, you know, if he has to do something else, do business or that, you know, but he's a Brahma, why is he doing that? The point is, how is he supposed to live? So if he's supposed to do teaching or, sacrifice for others, that means then they would be giving charity. But if they give very meager charity, then, you know, how are you supposed to live? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then that may be done. But the point is now he may be in anxiety that the reactions from the farming will be a problem, but that's taken care of by the performance of sacrifice. Right? So therefore he doesn't have to be in anxiety. But he, though, through a want of means of subsistence, gives up the strictness with respect to his duties, may sell in order to increase his wealth, the commodities sold by Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? So, in other words, better he's doing his brahminical duties. If he can't, takes up the kshatriya. If not, then he sells things that Vaishyas would sell. Right? Like that. But it also, if that's not an option, or if he's out in the village, then he may farm. If he has land, then he'll farm. What if he doesn't have land? Then he won't farm. Mm-hmm. Right? He'll only farm if he has land. You know, that's the somehow or another strange peculiar prerequisite for farming. So you have to have land. Right? So therefore, if he has land, then he'll farm. But if he doesn't have land, then he'll do something else.
And if you farm a rented land, it just doesn't pay off because all the investment you put in manure and changing the soil, you know, you only start getting the second, third year.
So yeah, well, it does as long as you're in a stable environment where it can work like that. Because it would be understood as people will rent land, it has to be for long enough for you to make profit. You know, but if they're just tricking, they do it and then take it away and then give it to someone else, and that then these people are cheating. So the government should take care of that. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's a cheater. That's not a, you know, it's not proper business.
More is the urban farming has become like more popular. You know, where they turn like an attic or a spare room into a kind of grill room.
That's okay as long, but also as the somehow or another, the local, you know, urban administration doesn't appreciate that kind of farming. So, you know, other than, of course, what the local city council thinks about usage of space, that's another thing. But
not appreciated
so much. No. But they do things where they grow things in water and stuff. So you can't hydroponic. You can do that. You can kind of, as long as you have kind of like a factory kind of scene, then you can also grow things there. That also works.
There's a city in England, the local council has planted all over the city so that everybody can have this. Instead of flowers, they plant vegetables all over. You can just come and have.
Oh, I see. So down the boulevard of the street, then there's cauliflowers growing.
Cauliflowers, tomatoes, capsicum, everything is there.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. And the people harvest it?
Yeah, the people come harvest, and they said there was a decrease in violence because there's so much food. People are kind of more peaceful.
Huh? No mafias come in and taking over, harvest everything, and sells it.
So, Dandavats didn't say that was happening. It was reported in this village in England.
Okay. Okay, these options are given for the Brahmin who do not wish to follow the second-rate means of livelihood that are described in the verses. Okay, in other words, if he's not going to farm with that, then he does trade, so he trades things that Vaishyas trade. Right? Avoiding the means of higher orders. A Kshatriya has fallen into distress, may subsist by all these means, but he must never arrogantly adopt the mode of life prescribed for his betters. Right? Because it's mentioned that the Brahmins, they do this, and it's never prescribed for Kshatriyas and Vaishyas.
Yeah.
So when it says never, that means in times of distress also. He says that's a settled rule. Otherwise, why it's in this chapter? It would be in the previous chapters. But it's in this chapter because this is what you do when you can't do your duty. Mm. So the point is from your duty, then you drop down to the next one. You don't drop up.
Yeah.
Right, you know, because that's a worse drop.
I will understand the Pandavas example. In time of distress, they have taken different services.
Who?
Pandava.
In times of distress?
Yeah. During 1 year of period, they were staying in Virat's house.
But that's another thing. That's just means as Kshatriyas, then that was the thing, is that if you're seen during that time, then you'll have to go. Because before, they're just living in the forest. Yeah. But during that year, if they're found out, then they have to go into exile for another, you know, whatever, 12 years. Right? So that they just do things, in other words, they'll do things that are the arts that they're able to do. Right? Because that's how they'll blend in. Does that make sense? In other words, you have your occupation, the skills of your occupation, you have other skills that aren't your occupation, those are your hobbies. So in other words, they all do their hobbies. So one's expert with cows, one's expert with horses, one's expert at cooking, one's expert at dice, you know, like that. And one is, you know, he has time to spend as a eunuch, so, you know, might as well get it over with, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, but he's expert at singing and dancing. It's not that he doesn't know that, but it's just that he would probably, you know, sing and dance for the court as opposed to, you know, in the I say for the queen and the, you know, and all the ladies. So,
that would seem to be something that's well beyond normal time of distress.
Yes. Yeah, because even if you're talking about it, it only applies, you know, to the kshatriya. But in this position, technically, he's not a kshatriya. You know, so then, you know, for him to do those things, that's the normal duties for someone in that position. As Arjuna, right? You know, he's like the, you know, the perfection of manhood.
The man's man.
Yeah, the man's man. He's got all these colorful cloths on and, you know, all doing the whole thing. Okay. A man of low caste who through covetousness lives by the occupations of a higher one, the king shall deprive of his property and banish. Right? Now here it says, of a low caste who through covetousness lives by the occupations of a higher one. Mm. It's not through covetousness, it's through necessity. You know? Mm. It's not so much his own necessity, it's more as the necessities required. Mm. You understand? Does that make sense? Mm. So this is how we get by.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It is better to discharge one's own appointed duty incompletely than to perform completely that of another. For he who lives according to the law of another caste is instantly excluded from his own. Mm. Right? Yeah. So, you know, Bhagavad Gita is saying this, so this is saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Vritti. This echoes Krishna's statement of the Bhagavad Gita 3:35. Shreyan Sudharmo Viguna Paradharmat Swanushtitat. Sudharme Nidanam Shreya Paradharmo Bhaya Vaha. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faulty, than another's duties perfectly. Right? Because in other words, when you're saying you do his duties, what are you talking about? Which aspect of the duties?
Occupation.
It means the occupation. It means you're going to do the skill perfectly. Like he's doing that, I can do that. But the point is you don't have the mentality to do that. That's why you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duty, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Yeah. Right? Because you don't have the right mentality, so the reactions that come and you don't really have the nature to take care of it.
Mm. And it will be temporary?
Yeah, like that. I mean, you might be able to do it. If you can permanently do it and do it well and everything, so then that means that's your nature.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the point is, if you do, it says here, he lives according to the law of another's caste is instantly excluded from his own.
Yeah.
So if he's a Brahmin, he's doing perfectly the businessman, he's doing that all, but now he's counted as a businessman, he's not counted as a Brahmin.
Yeah.
So that's why also one avoids.
Mm.
So alternative duties for Vaishyas. A Vaishya who is unable to subsist by his own duties may even maintain himself by a Shudra's mode of life. Avoiding, however, acts forbidden to him. And he should give it up when he is able to do so. Right? So in other words, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, they don't take up the mode of a Shudra.
Mm.
Right? But the Vaishya, you know, in other words, he's a farmer, you know, or doing agriculture, he can't do that, he may do business, or he might banking. Like that, if you can't do those things, then he may take up the work of a Shudra. But he'll only do those things which don't go against what is his natural lifestyle. Right? Like that. And how do you say? And when he has the opportunity to go back to the Vaishya position, he'll do that. Right? So that's why it's said that if you have someone who has a problem like that, and the higher dvijas or the Brahmins, then they put it, he's in that position, but they keep him in that position, then that's something that the king has to correct. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. Like that. So it shouldn't be that a Vaishya ends up staying as a Shudra. Mm. Like that. Because otherwise, for the Brahmin to do that's only out of pride. Mm. Alternative duties for Shudras. But a Shudra, being unable to find service with the twice born, and threatened with the loss of his sons and wife through hunger, may maintain himself by handicrafts. Let him follow those mechanical occupations and those various practical arts by following which the twice-born men are best served. Right. So in other words, do something that's practical, useful. You know, it's not that you say, the alternative of city farming or moonshine or, you know, these guys. You know, what's useful, you make your life out of it. That's supposed to be. So that means it's either mechanical occupations, you know, those kind of skills, or your arts, you know, practical things that may, whatever may, like that.
That would be the cottage industry?
Yeah, it's your cottage industries. But it's, see, the Vaishya may have those, and so Shudras, like, he's doing a cloth business, so he has Shudras that make cloth for him. But if he can't find that, he might set it up his own loom. Make cloth and then trade in that. But it's only him making it. He now doesn't get others and then starts a whole big business, unless by nature he's a businessman. Mm-hmm. Right, because otherwise then he'll exploit, he'll deal badly, he knows all these things.
For this matter, the training is required to all the varna so that they know what is their duty and what's supposed to do.
Yes.
Otherwise, Sudra may, he would act like something like
that. Yes, so that's why training is. Okay. Alternatives for Brahmins within Brahminical duties. So in other words, if he's not willing to drop out of his Brahminical duties, then, you know, and take up the others, then within Brahminical duties, what are alternatives from, what's the ideal Brahminical duties, what he should do? Brahmin who is distressed through want of means of subsistence and pines with hunger, but unwilling to adopt a Vaishya's mode of life and resolved to follow his own prescribed path, may act in the following manner. Right. Teaching sacrifice and accepting gifts from anyone, because normally you only from qualified people. Mm-hmm. Brahman who has fallen into distress may accept gifts from anybody, for according to the law it is not possible to assert that anything pure can be sullied. Right? Mm-hmm. Right. In other words, the Brahman is pure, so it's not that you mm-hmm. can make him impure by this. Right? It's not ideal, because why take on extra mm-hmm. karma and extra impurity in your, you know, sadhana when you don't need to? But if there's no alternative, then he may do that. Mm. Right. By teaching, by sacrificing for and accepting gifts from despicable men, Brahmins in distress commit not sin, for they are as pure as fire and water. He who, when in danger of losing his life, accepts food from any person whatsoever, is no more tainted by sin than the sky by mud. If I take a whole bucket of mud and throw it up in the sky, the sky doesn't, so that's the point, is that, but here we see who's fallen into distress, right? One of food, this and that, so in that, the mentality is proper. So then you get, but if you become proud and then, no, we do that, then you, that means you're becoming contaminated by accepting from anybody. So then that's considered a lower position. But in this case, he's not considered in a lower position. The normal thing is if he, by regular thing, is being, doing sacrifices and all that for a particular community that's not so ideal, then he's considered not in his ideal position as the Brahmin as someone else, right? But in this case, it doesn't affect his position. Does that make sense? Okay. On comparing the acceptance of gifts from low men, sacrificing for them and teaching them, the acceptance of gifts is the meanest of those acts and most reprehensible for a Brahmin on account of its results in the next life. Right. So in other words, accepting gifts, sacrificing, and teaching. So accepting gifts, it's the lowest on the list of what is his preferred occupations. Mm-hmm. But it's also, therefore, the one that it's the lowest because it carries the most difficulty.
Yeah.
So therefore, accepting gifts from them is worse than mm-hmm. than doing sacrifices and getting something like this. For assisting in sacrifices and teaching are two acts always performed for men who have received the sacraments. But the acceptance of gifts takes place even in the case the giver is a Shudra of the lowest class. Right? Does that make sense? Because you're accepting from anybody. So the anybody in for teaching and doing sacrifice is limited to basically Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Because there aren't Shudras doing the sacrifices. Does that make sense? But accepting of gifts, that can include Shudras. That means, when it says there, anybody, it means everybody. So therefore, it's more dangerous.
No, it's explained that Shudra cannot study, but it is not their nature.
Study, it means they study whatever is connected with their occupation. Yeah.
But not the scripture
means not the Veda. They don't sit and memorize the Veda and that, because otherwise what are they going to do with it? They're not going to do sacrifice. Right? They won't have that mentality and all that like that. But studying the scripture means meaning Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that's for anybody. That's on the basis of the soul. So that's as a devotee, they're studying that. But to study the Veda, like that, memorize the Veda, learn all the rituals, the technical rituals and all that. That would be only for someone who has that nature. Otherwise, what will he do with it? Mm-hmm. Right? Because if he knows that, he'll make a business out of that. And that's not what he should be doing. Mm-hmm. Vriti. A Brahmin should always consider the character of those he teaches or offers sacrifices for. Thus, to assist other dvijas in these activities without discrimination is less than ideal, but even less ideal is to accept gifts from anyone. The guilt incurred by offering sacrifices or teaching unworthy men is removed by muttering sacred texts and by burnt offerings, but that incurred by accepting gifts from them by renunciation of the gifts and by austerities. So in other words, if you're doing things for means, in other words, you're teaching and you're doing sacrifice by studying, means by chanting the scriptures and by sacrifice. In other words, by performing sacrifice and by japa, that's removed. Right, mm-hmm. But the gifts from them is by renunciation, right? Giving in charity, living more austere, things like that. You know, austerities means sticking to one's duties and those kinds of things like that. So in this case, the duties would mean, you know, studying, performing his own sacrifice, giving in charity. Is that?
So you wouldn't actually get anything because?
No, he would get, but it means that he's giving in charity, he's doing these things also.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
He's otherwise, why is he doing it? He's doing it to get something. But the point is they give more than. Gifts may be given to qualified Brahmins or used for dependents. Right? If something's considered bad, it means the point is that if, because this also applies in other times, like that, is that if you get donations or money from an unqualified source, it may be used for dependents, but you wouldn't use it for yourself. You wouldn't get any benefit from it. Does that make sense? But that doesn't mean, you know, you have money, you cook dinner with that, because you're also eating dinner. It has to be something that you're not involved in. You know, does that make sense? Clothes for them, it takes care of their education, medicine for them. You know, stuff that takes care of them, not you're paying the mortgage and so, and you're living in the house. That's not what it means. Right? So it also, because you have to give in charity, you give charity the money that's bad money. You keep the good money and you give away the bad money.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Because it won't be bad when you give it away.
Yeah, it's not bad when you give it to the person. It's purified by the act of charity. Yes.
Well, in a situation where you have a bank account and this money goes in from different places, if you mentally conceive of this money is going there, this money is going there, is that sufficient?
Yeah, as long as you can keep track of it. Otherwise, have another account for money that you consider not so ideal. And that's because that's the kings do it. They keep a separate treasury. Because you don't want it to get mixed up. A Brahmin who is unable to maintain himself should rather glean ears or grains from the field of any man. Gleaning ears is better than accepting gifts. Picking up single grains is declared to be still more laudable. Right? Because gleaning an ear means you've gotten the whole group of the grains. Mm. But when you're picking up the individual grain, that's a lot more austere. Gleaning ears of grains from the field is the occupation known as Ritta, right, in 445. So in other words, gleaning is considered better than receiving gifts, mm, like that. So if he can't do that, he could also just go out and, you know, whatever's left. If Brahmins who are snatikas are pining with hunger, or in want of utensils made of common metals, or of other property, they may ask the king for them. If he is not disposed to be liberal, he must be left. Mm-hmm. So in other words, begging things from the king means that's not the ideal situation, right? It means Drona is living his lifestyle, and he's not worrying about anything. But then when he's there in that position of distress, then only he goes to Drupad. Right? In other words, Brahmins going to kings for charity, that's not your first choice. Mm-hmm. Because the kings take on 1/6 of the karma of the whole kingdom. Mm-hmm. Not your first choice. You understand? Like that. Okay. But if he's not inclined to be liberal, don't push it, just leave. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, if he's inclined, you accept. But if he's not, and you have to sell him on the idea, you don't bother selling him on the idea, because then it's insulting. Mm-hmm. You're a Brahmin. Why you should go through that? The acceptance of... So now these are things you might get in charity. The acceptance of an untilled field is less blamable than that of a tilled one. Mm-hmm. Because the untilled is just sitting there. Tilled, yeah, means you have the grains and everything, or whatever is growing there, but the reaction for having tilled the field. Right? Or it's just tilled and nothing's growing there, you know, like that.
So what do you do with an untilled field?
An untilled field?
Yeah.
Then you can till it.
But you're a Brahmana, right? So you shouldn't be.
That, you can give in charity, you can, you know, do something, rent it out, you know.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I say. Make a franchise with Disneyland or something. You know, that's something you can do.
Undo program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. With respect to cows, goats, sheep, gold, grain, and cooked food, the acceptance of each earlier named article is less blamable than the following ones. Right? So then after land, then cows, then goats, then sheep, then gold, then grain, and then cooked food. Because the cooked food carries that direct karma. And grain's better than that. Mm. So gold's better than that, because then you can get whatever you want. Mm. You know, but then it seems cows, goats, and sheep are better than gold. Mm.
It's interesting that goat is more than sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you get milk. Like that, you know.
Goat's milk better than sheep milk?
Easier
to milk. There you go.
Okay.
It also has a kind of lactin system, the goat, like for protection. Sheep.
You don't milk those ones. You want to avoid those ones. Yeah. Now, it also doesn't mention, now what if they're Pashmina goats? Okay, then that's, you know, that's, you know, if you're in the South Island of New Zealand, then take the sheep. You know, if you're in Mongolia, take the goats. Okay. The seven lawful modes of acquiring properties. There are seven lawful modes of acquiring property, namely inheritance, finding or friendly donation, purchase, conquest, lending at interest, the performance of work, and the acceptance of gifts from virtuous men. It means these are ways that you can get money. Mm-hmm. And this applies to everyone. Mm-hmm. Right? So in other words, everybody's occupation is falling into these seven. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get into the detail of that in tomorrow. Oh, we're almost done.
Monday, right?
Yeah, Monday. So then we'll go into, this is 10, we're going to 11. Oh, okay. So when we get into 11, if you ever wondered what it meant by we don't do prayaschitta, you'll find out what is prayaschitta. Stay tuned, yeah.
Cliffhanger.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Samaveda
Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai,
Janitai Gaurika.